What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to the NBA Outlet. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron and first-time guest, Tyler Yates. What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Hey, good to see you.
Tyler, always a pleasure to have you on the pod. And Nick, rolling on.
Rolling on with the Chicago Bulls in our NBA Outlet preview series. As always, quick reminder, you can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. Also head to DesignTree/OffTheGlass. Grab yourself some OTG merch with discount code OTG5. But before we talk about the Bulls of next season, we're going to look back at last year. 22-60, 13th in the Eastern Conference. How would you summarize last year in one emoji?
I would put the hospital emoji. A lot of injuries. And the record and the performance last year.
I went with the smoke emoji because this team was just like bringing smoke, whether or not there was the team mutiny they had. We had some nice offensive explosions. We had some guys getting hurt. It was just an all-around shit show, if you will, in Chicago last year. But it ended okay.
I have the emoji with the guy with like the glass over his eye where I'm like taking a deeper look at the Bulls because they showed flashes last year of actually maybe being a pretty good team for this upcoming season, but then it's like question marks about, are they really going to be that good? Is LaVine going to take that jump? So I think it's just kind of put the Bulls on watch last season with the play they had. But biggest positive takeaway of last year?
Zach LaVine made some big shots throughout the regular season relative to their standing, obviously not meaning a whole lot, but still in the heat of battles, him making big shots at the end of fourth quarters is always good to see because someone's got to step up to do it as they take on more of a playoff contender role.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest positive takeaway was definitely this Zach LaVine becoming a really competent offensive player, stroking it from deep, being able to get to the rim, being more than just a high flyer dunker. Definitely needs to continue to work on the defensive end of the ball. But I think Zach LaVine at least showed flash that he can be your cornerstone piece moving forward.
Yeah, LaVine really popped off as a scorer, picked up the efficiency, put up some nice numbers. Obviously, didn't necessarily translate to wins, but it wasn't as much on him. And defensively, I think he just has to show effort. And also a quick shout out, I like the Otto Porter trade. I'm a big fan of Porter, and he played very well for the Bulls last year. Yeah. Biggest negative takeaway, though.
I would just say the record, you know, at some point these guys are going to have to start winning. I just worry about the young players are going to get accustomed to losing, you know, and you're counting on those guys to ultimately put the franchise on their backs of their effort. And if they are just in a culture of losing, I worry that will become okay with them.
I think one negative I would say would be not moving a guy like Robin Lopez at the deadline to get another asset would be like a slight negative. And then just, you know, Wendell Carter Jr. being a little bit banged up from injuries. Lauri Markkanen missed some time with injuries. Not having these guys for the full year to get further development is a slight negative. Even guys like Chris Dunn maybe not taking the step forward, but also he dealt with injuries. So I think a negative is just some of these young guys being banged up and not able to get maybe the most development possible.
Yeah, I went with the same thing, Corey. I think injuries kind of hindered them, especially in development. And specifically for a guy like Wendell Carter, where there was a lot of hype going into the season and pretty much missing half the year. Moving on from there, talking OTG power rankings, we have the Bulls coming in at number 24. Do you guys think this is too high, too low, or fair?
I think it's pretty fair. I think it's pretty safe. You know, they obviously have the ability to go above that, but they also have demonstrated last year they have the ability to go below that as well. But I think a mild rise is a pretty fair place to put them.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I can see them going a couple spots higher. I think some of the guys they brought in for veteran leadership will help push this team farther. But I think it's fair for right now.
Yeah, until we see these guys take that jump, 24 is fine. There is potential probably to get closer to 20, maybe even a touch over 20 if some of the young pieces popped off. But I feel safe at 24. Now, moving on to the offseason draft-wise, they brought in Coby White. Thoughts on him?
Yeah, I have been all over the board on Coby White. And I will, at this point, I'm a little bit higher, but I'm also just such a big fan. I don't know if you can really take my word as objective truth or an objective opinion. He has obviously offensive ability. I worry about his shot. I worry about his decision-making, but the good thing is that those are all very I wouldn't say easy, but controllable things. He has a lot of the intangibles, leadership, quickness, stuff like that. So I love that, and I love his mentality. So I am excited about it, but there are some question marks.
I'm always happy when it's a rookie that I know something about. A lot of my friends are UNC fans, so if I wanted to hang out with my friends, I was watching a lot of UNC basketball. This is a guy who can get buckets. Averaged 16 points per game in college on 42-35% shooting splits. Is actually the all-time North – is it in high school basketball has the most points scored in North Carolina history, I believe, if my one friend told me correctly. I need to fact check that probably before I drop
I
it.
I actually believe that's true. I remember reading the scouting reports.
Thank God. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, so he's got the most points ever in high school. That's promising. As you mentioned, Tyler, this is a guy who goes out there and gets buckets. We've even seen that so far in preseason. We saw a little bit in summer league. This guy can definitely score. What is he going to give them defensively? Because as of right now, it looks like the Bulls have a ton of offensive firepower, but maybe not necessarily enough defense as of yet.
And they've been looking for a guard of the future for a while. Obviously, they have Zach LaVine in there, but they're looking for a point guard. Maybe Coby White can be that guy. There's been a lot of people who are super high on him, super low on him. But Daniel Gafford was a second-round pick. Any thoughts on him, Tyler?
Yeah, I think he has a pretty high floor, actually, like one of the higher floors of just all rookies, not even just second rounders. I think he's a rim runner. He's a guy who just doesn't get out of position too often. And I think that he, even this year, is somebody who can be a contributor.
Corey, nothing on that, right?
One rookie is my limit.
Now, talking offseason trades and acquisitions, we got Thaddeus Young, Thomas Adoransky, Luke Kornet. Which player are you most excited about?
I would say Satoransky. I think Thad Young is a great addition. I don't at all want to diminish my excitement about him, but I think Satoransky can take a big step. I mean, he's very long. He has the ability to shoot. I think he's going to be the guy who can take the best offensive threat in the opposing team's backcourt because of his length. And I really think that he'll be able to be a guy who leads by example, while Thad Young does a little bit more of the vocal leadership. And those two guys together coming in, as far as culture and defense, I'm super excited about. But with point guard being such a tough spot and the question marks that are still lying for Coby White and him, like any rookie needing time to develop, I think Satoransky is going to be a great addition.
So for me, I'm glad you didn't pick him. Thaddeus Young is the guy I'm excited about. Obviously, being an Indiana Pacer fan, I got to watch Thaddeus Young the last few years. He was the captain of the Pacers last year. This is just the guy that you want for your locker room. This is a nice, calming veteran presence. This is also a guy who does the little things. He hustles for loose balls. He focuses on defense. He has developed maybe not a three-point shot you can depend on or rely on heavily, but he can at least knock down the three-point shot. Gives you just a little bit of everything. A very good defender. He was sort of known, at least for Pacer fans, as being like the Giannis Antetokounmpo stopper. Antetokounmpo had a lot of trouble when he was matched up with Thaddeus Young. And obviously Thaddeus Young shooting 52% from the field last year is something you really like to see. And he should really help to change this Chicago Bulls culture.
Yeah, both guys obviously are going to have a big impact being veterans. And Satoransky just being a solid point guard, and that's really what the Bulls have needed for quite some time. Having him and then having other offensive pieces around him, I think that's when he's at his best, when he's not necessarily the focal point, where he's more so setting up other guys. You have a Market and you have a LaVine, you have a Porter, and obviously there's some relationship already with Porter. And then you mentioned Thad Young. I think every team he's played on, the fans absolutely love him for the hustle, the effort, true professional. And I think it's a guy you really needed to bring in. You needed to bring in some type of veteran that would help set the tone, because we know things in Chicago have been very shaky over the last couple of years, especially in that locker room. So having a nice guy, a nice professional like Thad Young should help change that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, talking players out, we got Robin Lopez, TLC, Wayne Selden, Shaq Harrison, a couple of other guys that probably played only a few games for the Bulls. But any guys you think they're really going to miss or you wish they could have kept?
I really like Rolo. I like Robin Lopez a lot. He plays a very not visually appealing game of basketball. But he really does get the job done. He always played hard. And now, for some of our preseason games, we've had Felicio start, which is just like the worst sentence I could possibly say during this podcast. And I worry about who we're going to put there. But obviously, you know, Wendell is going to be great. And I do worry about his health. But, you know, if he is able to stay healthy, that will be great. But the depth at that position is no fun.
Yeah. For me, you don't really miss anybody, but I think you would have to miss Robin Lopez for the fact that he's just the more established, he's the most established center they would have had on this roster. But obviously, with the youth movement, it's okay losing him. But even still, you know, having him as maybe a backup center just for the fact of kind of mentoring along these young guys would have been beneficial. But again, Robin Lopez, I think his mind was on trying to compete and actually win more basketball games.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think obviously you would love to have Lopez back, but I don't think he wanted to be back, like Corey mentioned, going to a contender in Milwaukee and playing with his twin, which is pretty cool, but that's for another podcast. Talking about the team in general, what's the biggest X factor for the Bulls as a team next season? And it can't be one specific player or health.
Yeah, well, it's really got to be Jim Boylan. Is the locker room going to get behind him? Is he? I mean, the one thing I will say that I'm super excited about has been the ball movement of the preseason. When the starting roster are just at least people you know are going to be a big part in the playing time for the Bulls this year, the ball movement has been very good. And that's encouraging for me to see because ball movement was not something, certainly not a strength of ours. We were low in assists last year, and I think getting the ball, moving around, and not just kind of like giving it to Zach LaVine and just really hoping that he does something cool. So Jim Boylan obviously would be the driving force of that resurgence in ball movement. So I would say just the philosophy that he will implement into a modern NBA.
You're right. They were 27th in the league last year with assists, but 21.9 per game. My biggest X factor is defense. Obviously, the Chicago Bulls team can definitely score some points. We've seen some of that in flashes last year, even though their offensive rating wasn't great last year. They definitely did still show flashes that they can score points, more so in the later part of the season. But defense is going to be a big question mark for me. Can this team get some defensive stops? Can they limit teams? They were 25th in defensive rating last year. They gave up 113 points per game. Can this team form a more defensive identity in which they're not just getting into these shootouts with other teams?
Yeah, I think defense is going to be important. And then obviously getting offensive consistency. And I think that's related to the point guard play. And I think if the point guard play can take a jump this year, it'll help unlock a lot of these young guys and the offensive talents they do have. Now, what's the starting lineup going to be on opening night?
I think four positions are pretty easily established with LaVine, Otto Porter, Lauri Markkanen, and Wendell Carter Jr. I have Satoransky starting at point guard. I think the cap or his salary would probably indicate that as well. Obviously, you can't choose how much you can pay Coby White, but I still think that he's going to be the starter for a majority of the season, if not the whole season, injury dependent. But I think Satoransky will be the guy at point guard.
That's my same starting five as well. But I think at some point this season, we definitely see Coby White get that nod.
Yeah, I'm going with the same one as you guys. I think Satoransky might be able to hold him off. Obviously, if Coby White really like comes onto the scene, he could start. But I think Satoransky is just like a very nice complementary fit starter. You know, if the other guys can play better, you don't need him to do a ton and just play his game. I like him there. Who's the player to watch, though, for the Bulls?
I think it will be Lowry. I really wanted to say Zach LaVine. He's kind of the easy answer, but I think there's a decent, maybe not a decent chance. I think there's a chance that he's an all-star, probably a little bit better of a chance than Lowry. But I just think with Lowry not having this like a full season with no time restrictions and just unleashing and kind of having a little bit more optimism in the locker room, at least I would hope so. I think he'll probably be the player to watch.
So I'm going with just a different choice. I'm going with Otto Porter Jr.
Oh, I wanted to go with that.
Well, you go with him then, because I have two. So you go with him, because I didn't think anyone was going to pick him.
I put all three down. I put LaVine, Laurie, and Porter just because I figured everyone, but I wanted to go with Porter the most because he did really put up crazy numbers last year in Chicago. Yes. Like he was shooting close to 50% from three. They unlocked him a little bit in that pick and roll game or pick and pop, whatever you want to call it. I'm excited to see what he can do. And I really believe in Otto Porter for a while now since the Nets offered that offer sheet. And we'll see if he can take that next step in Chicago this year, being more of a focal point than he ever was in Washington.
Definitely. I'm excited about Porter as well. So I'll go with the easy choice, which is Zach LaVine. Young Hollywood is his nickname. If you didn't know, now you know.
Interesting. I did not know that.
scores in bunches, has developed a really good three-point shot. Last night in preseason, I think it was last night, I was watching preseason highlights. And, I mean, the way he's shooting with confidence from deep, some of the dribble in to dribble out to creating his own shot is just, like, it's just so much better than I ever thought it would get to from his Minnesota days. Like, I knew he was a high flyer, and I knew that there was offensive capabilities in Minnesota. But it just feels like him being the guy in Chicago has just unleashed this new level to Zach LaVine's offensive game. And as we mentioned earlier, I think you mentioned it, Nick, he definitely needs to show more effort defensively. But offensively, this could be a guy who we see average, you know, like 25, 26 points per game next year, maybe make an all-star team. Zach LaVine is a guy who I think you're going to see some really fun, big-time scoring numbers from this upcoming year.
And one thing LaVine's really developed in his game, and he's taken advantage of his athleticism, almost floating around the rim to an extent to finish inside. And it's extremely difficult because there's not many guys that can jump higher than him in the NBA, even coming off a torn ACL from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
A lot of young players that will be watching for Chicago, and we didn't even mention a guy like Chris Dunn, who's kind of been all over the place for them, dealing with injuries, had good moments, had bad moments. So there's a lot of young pieces in Chicago, but worst case scenario for the team.
Basically a repeat of last year. With that obviously being record, but I think the absolute worst case scenario is if you see some of these franchise guys struggling with health again, that is really setting a scary tone for the future.
I think worst case scenario, again, is probably under 30 wins. You know, maybe we don't see as much cohesion from these new guys coming in, some of these young guys, maybe injury strike again, but it's this team not really taking that jump forward as we're kind of anticipating.
Yeah, you guys are spot on. You know, pretty much same thing as last year, under 30 wins, guys aren't healthy or they don't take that jump, or it's just pretty much an inconsistent season where there's nights are good offensively and then they're just pretty much bad defensively all year. But best case scenario.
Best case scenario, I would put them at eighth seed, best case scenario, making the playoffs. I think it's a hard ask when I think some teams in some borderline teams in the East are going to make strides, including the Atlanta Hawks. You know, they're a team that was already ahead of us, and I feel like they're just going to continue to get better, and they had great draft additions. Even the Pistons bringing in some guys, the Magic, all these like borderline teams are either bringing back the same team or the same team with one or two more pieces. So it's tough to see them there, but I think there is a possibility of making the playoffs, and I really wouldn't see much more than an eighth seed being possible.
Yeah, I think best case scenario for the Chicago Bulls would be making the playoffs. They get hot. You know, sometimes we've seen teams, you know, at 500 make the eighth seed. I don't think that's going to be the case this year, but I think best case scenario would be the Chicago Bulls sneaking into the playoffs.
Agreed. I think eighth seed is the best case, and that's with a lot of guys just taking that jump, and then maybe you get lucky and one of these other teams get hit with the injury bug, and now a spot opens up, or just chemistry is really bad. But like you said, Tyler, there's just some teams that you'd rather go with in the East in terms of making the playoffs. But actual prediction, and where do they finish in the division?
In the division, I would have them fourth, unfortunately. I don't see – they're obviously not getting ahead, the Bucks or the Pacers. And I don't see them getting ahead the Pistons either, just with Blake Griffin, you know, all-star level, Andre Drummond, adding Derrick Rose, who played so well last year. I was so happy to see that, obviously, as a Chicago fan, and with him kind of being one of the more sad stories in the NBA currently and really in modern history, from going youngest MVP to obviously the injuries that he's had. But we will be ahead of the Cavs. I'm optimistic.
I hope so.
Not much of a positive to reflect on, but yeah, most likely will be in that fourth spot in the division.
I have been finishing fourth in the division as well. I have been winning 30 games, which is an 8-game improvement from last year. I think we're going to see improvement. I think we're going to see strides. But again, you know, there's just expectation versus reality.
Yeah, fourth in the division for me, 31 wins. I think they take a jump, maybe even to the mid-30s if things really work out and they're able to maintain health and get that progress. But it's just maybe one more year until they can make the postseason. This is an important year, kind of taking that stepping stone, and then the next stone would be the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we get to League Pass, I wanted to ask you guys a question about the Bulls' young core. Who would you say out of the core has the highest potential if you were to rank the top three guys?
I think you would have to go with Lowry. I mean, just to think of his shooting ability, first of all, for his height, obviously a 7-footer and has the ability to stretch the floor. If one of you guys want to look up his 3-point percentage as I'm talking from last year, his ability
36%.
So obviously not a great number, but for how young he is, how big he is, I don't expect that number to regress at all, but only to slowly grow. And to grow with more volume, which is another good sign. So I think with his ability to stretch the floor and just seeing him, you wouldn't expect kind of watching his game for him to be as muscular as he is. But I think he's continuing to put on weight and continuing to get stronger, making him more of a threat in the post. And obviously you see highlights of him, you know, dunking on Nikola Vucevic last year, and he really does have the ability to do it all if he can grow in his defense. I just think for his size and for the skills he's already demonstrated, for those things to grow to their ceiling, he would have to be the best possible player out of the young core.
Yeah, I think Lauri Markkanen would be the top on my list, with Zach LaVine being a close second. And then probably somewhere between Wendell Carter and Coby White being tied for like the third highest. I think I was spot on when Lauri Markkanen was coming out of college. I just saw the versatility, kind of like a little bit of a Kristaps Porzingis to his game, where he can do a little bit of inside out. Obviously, averaging 18 and 9 last year, you like to see that. Need to see some strides defensively. The shooting numbers, I'm okay with, as you mentioned, Tyler. 36% is pretty good, especially shooting 6.5 attempts a game. So 43 and 36 shooting splits, 87% from the free throw line. I love all of those numbers. Just 21 years old. Just needs to stay healthy and continue to progress. But I think Markkanen has definitely the highest ceiling. You know, somewhere is like, you know, a high ceiling, not to compare to a great, but like a Dirk Nowitzki, for example, of like a high ceiling capability.
I think just because of the position he's at and the skill set he has, if he were to hit his ceiling, he's just such a problem for other teams to defend, because you don't necessarily have a center 7-footer you can put out in the perimeter, and then you're worrying about the paint getting defended. So I think his skill set at that size is such a problem, you'd have to have him one. I think LaVine, for what he's shown so far, you'd probably put it second. And then I guess I'm still riding pretty high in that Wendell Carter hype, so I guess I'll leave him at third. There was a lot of Al Horford comps with maybe even better offense, but we didn't really get to see much last year. Getting to League Pass, how would you guys rate the Bulls 1 through 10?
Because of their potential, I would say an 8. I think that's probably the highest that I could objectively put them, just because they're obviously not going to be a playoff team. Well, they probably won't be a playoff team. They have a lot of holes, like the defense that we've already touched on, and improving ball movement. And just with the question marks that they have, the only reason I would give them a higher grade, a higher 8, is because of their youth, and because that you can hang your hat on the fact, well, there's injuries, never got the chance to get the cohesion down, never got the chance for people to get in a rhythm. Now you have the added pieces with veteran leadership. I think you can make a case for that number 8. But that's probably the higher end that I could really give anybody credibility for ranking them.
My League Pass rating is generally really harsh. I gave them a 7, which feels weird. But I think this is a team that's going to be fun to watch, because this is a team that has a lot of offensive weapons as long as they stay healthy. They do have my boy Thad Young, which is also intriguing. I do like the fit of Otto Porter Jr. with another year of developing and finding cohesion with this unit. Coby White's an exciting rookie. So I'm going to say So yeah, there's intriguement with this team because they have so much offensive capability, similar to like the Atlanta Hawks, for example. These teams may not play a lot of defense necessarily. They may not win a lot of games, but they're probably going to score a lot of points.
I went right in between you guys, 7.5, and there's just a lot of young talent, and they're not necessarily going to be an amazing team, and their defense isn't a question mark like we mentioned, and that kind of provides value because the other team's going to put up points, but they can still be in some good matchups because they might have the offensive firepower to keep up. But what TV show would you guys compare to the Bulls? Now, Tyler, this can be based off of watchability or the plot of the TV show.
I would just say maybe Parks and Rec, because they're not quite The Office. They're not quite some of these, you know, the Bucks or the Nuggets who have these young players who are superstars and they're championship contenders. They're kind of like the off-brand version of the young players who are good. They're not quite The Office, but I would say Parks and Rec for kind of a B-side of the young players in the NBA.
So I went with Band of Brothers, an HBO, like, it's an HBO limited TV series of like 10 episodes. Obviously, it's based on World War II. But I find it to be very enjoyable. There's some very exciting moments. There's some kind of boring episodes where they're, you know, they're just talking about some history moments. But I think the Bulls will have some extremely exciting offensive nights, whereas some nights they may get blown out because they're not playing enough defense. So Band of Brothers.
Yeah, I went with just something on pure watchability, and that's Brooklyn Nine-Nine. You know, not my favorite TV show, but it's definitely something fun, and I'll watch it here and there, just like the Bulls will be this season. But did you guys want to touch on any other thoughts on the Bulls?
No, I think we covered it pretty good. I think the big question, Mark, will be, like Corey outlined, is the defense. I don't think anybody who knows their basketball well can argue the offensive capabilities of the Chicago Bulls, but the defense is really going to be a question mark. And obviously you think of a guy who is under Greg Popovich and Jim Boylan. Hopefully he's going to bring some sort of defensive intensity to the team. Thad Young, Satoransky coming in. Those are guys who are obviously going to at least contribute to the culture. Obviously, I don't think those are people who can individually just raise the defense a whole lot. I think Thad Young is pretty close to that, but it's really going to be a culture change. And I hear Zach LaVine talking about, I don't know if you guys heard this quote today, but he was talking about he wants to be one of the best two-way players in the NBA, and he's trying to take his defense up a level. So it should be exciting to see how they do take those defensive strides and if that's enough to get them into a potential eighth spot.
Levine's got a lot of work to do to get there, but it's a good goal.
Yeah, it's definitely what you want to hear from a young guy like Zach LaVine, though. I will say that. I think this is a team you're going to be watching more so for the players than the actual team and how the team success is going. You're going to want to see how the young guys are going. Maybe even a team that you lean on some nights in FanDuel if you're into fantasy basketball. I think this team has the potential, as we mentioned, to have a lot of big offensive nights, which seems to translate pretty well into daily fantasy and season-long fantasy. But yeah, it's going to be a fun year, I think.
100%. And great show, guys. As always, thank everybody for listening. Corey and Tyler, give yourself a shout-out.
Yeah, thank you. You can follow me on my Instagram, which is just Tyler Yates, Tyler_Yates_YouTube, as that is where I'm posting a lot of my 2K content. And on top of that, as the NBA season starts, I will be, you know, doing some more NBA coverage and just monologues of what I'm observing.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at KWALHoops, KWAL Hoops. And be sure to follow my podcast, Full Access Hoops, a proud part of the OTG Basketball Podcast Network.
And make sure you follow Off the Glass at OTG Basketball. Head to the website for some great NBA content, otgbasketball.com. And like I mentioned earlier, you can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Dash Radio, and YouTube.
Peace out, knuckleheads.